Praise the Lord. Have a Bible study to bring to you tonight from the second book of Peter. Second Peter, reading in the first chapter, please, of the Bible. Maybe you could look on with someone. Second Peter 1 and 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied. Everybody say multiplied. Unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly love. Brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Now, eternal securitists really don't like this. They who preach eternal security, because their teaching is, it don't matter what you do. After you get saved, you can die a drunkard. And you're saved. They don't like this. This makes them nervous. For if you do these things, you will never fall. Praise God. I'd like to speak tonight in this Bible study a little while upon this thought of God's addition. God's addition. What He adds to your life. Now, church, I don't know how it'll go. Maybe I'll move at a slow pace, whatever. But I want you to hear the Word of the Lord tonight. And this is going to be for all of us. For this pulpit, for the pew, for the singers, musicians, all the church, ushers, everybody. For if you do these things, you will never fall. My God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother Kraft, would you go pray over this Bible study remainder?
My Lord, you said in your word to be still and know that you're God. Lord, I know right now, Lord, that you're about to work, you're about to minister, and you're about to speak. in the stillness, in the quietness, in the calmness, Lord, of this service. God, I thank you for the sweet presence of the Lord that I feel. God, I pray for our ears that you would anoint us to hear, God, the words of the Lord this night unto our heart. God, minister and teach us, God, by your word and by your servant this night. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost, God, upon this service. I praise you and I worship you, God, for what I feel right now, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. Would you give the Lord with me another hand praise and thank him for this beautiful spirit? And everybody say praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. We had a wonderful time of worship tonight. Have a lot I want to teach on, but I'll not take a long time tonight. I'll go through some of this and then get to hit it another time, another night. In the secular world, any business that is going to increase and stay up with its clientele and what it has to offer and is going to really, really be productive is going to have to understand the inventory, understand what has been sold and what they need to buy. Every successful business will have a time of inventory. Some of them do it semi-annually, others do it annually. And then some, due to modern technology, you may not know this, but when you're checking out through the line and that scanner is picking up what you just bought, it is telling through the computer into a main central area. It's telling exactly what just got bought, and that no longer is on the shelf. And so they can pick up their inventory sheet and find out, even in one given day or 1 week or 1 month, what has been sold and what they need to purchase. Because if you're going to be successful in business, you've got to understand the importance of inventory. And I also believe that if you're going to be successful living for God, you're going to take inventory of your life from time to time and periodically. You're going to take what you do and how you live and match it up to the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen? Thank God. Now, addition means adding a bunch of numbers together to get the sum total of something. Or taking one thing and adding it to another that you might increase what you now have. When you are adding, you take these numbers, crunch them together, bring them and add them up that you might get the sum total of something. Now, in the spirit world, understand this. Now, please, I'm going to lay a foundation. So listen up here for a couple of minutes so I don't lose you. God knows the sum total of all things. Now, comprehend that, if you can. There is nothing that God doesn't know. In God's tally book, it's already added up, Brother Boston. He already knows everything. He's got the bottom line of it all. And he knows the sum total of the history of man. He knows the sum total of his church. I'm talking about God's dealing with his church. He already knows from beginning to the end. But it's what goes on in between that has a lot to do with you and I. I'll tell you what our problem is we get so worried about the end of things and the sum total when we ought to be leaving that to God, when we ought to be taking care of our life and the addition of God's things to our life, saying that when it comes to the end, I want it all to balance out. I'm going to leave all the sum total to God, but I'm going to make sure that whatever it takes, that it adds up in my life. Now, come on now. I want you to comprehend that, if you will. We get so worried about what's out there that we just skip over what God has for our life. Now, God knows the sum total. Now, the writer in the book of Ecclesiastes, he said, listen, let's come to the conclusion of the matter. He said it is that man will love God, will fear God, and keep his commandments. And that really is the subtotal of all things of our theology and our philosophy toward God. Can you say amen? Now, as far as it's on our part, it's to fear the Lord. It's to love God, keep His commandments. That is the sum total of all things of us toward God. Now, God's working toward man is that He might create us in His image. Now, I'm telling you, I know it's simple, but yet it really isn't when you really think and take in the whole scope of it. Really, God's plan isn't just to get us to heaven, but that we might awaken in His likeness. Now, that's not going to be just a presto thing and say, well, when the trumpet sounds, then I'm going to be like Jesus. No, if you're going to be like Jesus, you're going to start right now being like the Lord. Now, God's sum total of His actions toward man is that we might be in His image. In other words, that we might be a completely redeemed man, total in the image of God Almighty. Now, first of all, let's take a look at that. When we see God dealing with us, the first thing He begins to deal with us in, of course, is faith. Faith brings us to the knowledge of redemption. And so we come to that of being born again. Now, here's people's problem. Listen, church, God is so awesome and so mighty that just one little touch in people's lives sometimes, they back off and say, whoa, that takes care of it. And that's why many denominational churches have gone astray. People go to these crusades, Billy Graham and whatever, I'm not putting that down. But they go to that and they'll get a little touch of repentance and they'll say, oh, I've got what God has for me, and they don't even. They only have a little bit of the sum total of what God wants. But let me tell you something, folks. If it don't all add up, then it don't add up. If you're not born again, then you're just not born again. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. You know why? He was inquisitive. He was feeling a need for something more. And so he wanted to go to He who had the answers. And he began to talk to the Lord about these things. And the Lord told him, He said, listen, Nicodemus, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit if you're going to go into the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God are the same thing. The sum total is that you're going to be there. But it's what's going to get you there. It's going to take the water and the Spirit. Now, on the day of Pentecost, Simon Peter preached the sum total of God's salvation, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Now, if salvation is the sum total, and I could use the number one. Folks, a lot of people get one third. When they repent, they feel good and say, that's it, I am happy. But you only have one third. One third plus one third plus one third equals one. When you got the repentance with the water, with the Holy Ghost, you have the sum total of redemption. Hallelujah, or I should say of salvation. You now are beginning to enter into the realm that God has. Now, we look at the Baptists and the Methodists and the Catholic, and we look this over and we say, now, poor people, they really don't know what they're missing. They really don't know what they're missing. But some of you heard me tell the story. I can take you to the place. I remember what happened to me. I was driving down Colorado Boulevard in Denver, Colorado, and I was building the church there. And I was driving over the bridge that goes over the interstate, I believe it's 25. And I was crossing over that bridge, and I was looking down at the traffic. I mean, man, this is vivid in my mind. I'll never forget it. Because it was something that God began to work in me from that day forward. I said, Lord, you know, I feel now that I have come to the knowledge of salvation. You must be born again of the water and the Spirit. And God, you know, we've looked upon the denominational world, and we said they have come up short. Now, I went to the Baptist church many, many, many times. My mother was Baptist. She pushed us in that direction, and I never smoked, and I never drank, and I really did try to do the best I could up to that time. Then Daddy had pushed us toward the Pentecostals, and we just had confusion in our home until finally everybody got it right. We all got born again. But I still, nevertheless, lived the best I could. But then as I drove across that bridge, it was like a bolt of lightning hit me. And I said, now God, if I was that wrong about salvation,
What else could I be wrong about? Is there something else that could be missing in my life? Am I just floating along, or do you have more to, for me? And folks, I'm going to tell you, a lot of Pentecostals are like that. And some of you are like that. You get to the new birth and you say, praise God, that's it, I'm in, I'm saved. But I'm telling you, we're making the same mistake that the Baptists and the Methodists and the Catholic do. I'm telling you, my God is an awesome God. My God is a mighty God. He didn't just let you talk in tongues to sit on a pew. Hey, amen. There's some things He's going to add to our life. Amen. The Apostle Peter, when he was writing, he said, listen, whereby are given unto us, look at the fourth verse, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of what? Of the divine nature. Everybody say divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, you know how you got out of that mess? How many know how you got out of that mess? You got out of that mess through repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. How many say that was a mess? That was a mess, wasn't it? You got out of that by the new birth. But listen, it doesn't stop there. And beside this, everybody say, and beside this. And beside this, giving all diligence at... Now, here's where God's addition begins. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Just as much diligence as you gave to the new birth, you better listen up tonight, and you better hear the rest of the story. Because I'm going to tell you, out of all of these additions, if you leave one of them out, you're as guilty as the Baptist saying, I've repented, and that's all I need. Wait a minute now. Because the converse of, if you do these things, you will not fail. The converse of that is, if you start leaving these things out, you're going to fall. You're going to go down. Just as sure as a man cannot stand before God without the new birth, you and I cannot stand before Jesus Christ unless we are being formed into His image. Be not conformed to this world, but be it transformed by the renewing of your mind. God has something He's going to... Now we're talking about the sum total of what it's all going to be, is we're going to be like Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, you have got out of the corruption of this world of lust. You got out of it. There was a way. God made a way for you. But He said, beside all of this, that ain't the end of it. Let me tell you something. God is a God who multiplies and adds. He don't take away. God never takes away any good thing out of your life. He is a God of multiplication and addition. He's always adding to. But I'm going to tell you what happens to many. God help us, it's everywhere now. People are just sitting on the pews now. That's true, folks. I know I travel. And there's so many people that have been in the church for a while, and some of them, the new ones that get in, and they lose. He said, you know why? You know what the problem is with all this? He said, but he, look at the ninth verse. But he that lacketh these things is what? Is what? Is what? But I thought when I got saved, my eyes were open. Yes, but if you don't continue on, you will become blind. And cannot see afar off. You can't see things of God anymore. And hath what? Forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Folks, you just can't hang around the same mountain all of your life. You've got to press on into perfection. The Apostle Paul said, listen, let's lay and forget, lay aside these things of repentance, of what you received from God, of baptisms. Listen, he wasn't putting it down, but he said, let's press on.
Let's move on. Let's get some things done in the Holy Ghost. Friend, if you don't, you'll become blind again and you'll forget what happened to you at salvation. I'm going to tell you why people backslide. Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm going to tell you why they backslide. It's because when they get it, they lose it. How do you lose it? You lose it by not letting God add to your life so the sum total will come up. One third plus one third would equal one. No, it equals two thirds. But Brother Clark, getting two thirds better than zero? No, not in God's sum total. God wants you to be a whole man. Everybody say a whole man. It's important, folks. So let's look. If it's important, now if I'm going to end up being blind and I'm going to forget the pit from which I was digged and I'm going to fail, then my God, if I'm going to fall, then please let me help me, Brother Clark. If you're my pastor, then my God, in Jesus' name, tell me what do I need to do that I will not fall. Now, is that not the way we ought to feel about the Word of God? Amen. Come on. You cannot be an ostrich and stick your head in the sand and say, well, I talk in tongues. That's enough. The Apostle Peter said, no. God wants to add to your life, because when God is through, you're going to stand a complete man in Christ Jesus and you will not fall. Hallelujah. I don't know what you feel about it, but I want to see Jesus and hear Him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. All right, let's look at it. And beside this, look in the 8th verse. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. First of all, folks, nobody's going to get in without faith. You've got to have faith. Faith is an important thing. It's the beginning of all things. If a man doesn't have faith, I want you to know he's not going to get anything from God. Faith really is nothing more than just, it's your, what you believe. It's your credence. It's your moral convictions. It's your persuasion. It's really, faith is what you have come to believe Jesus is to you. Really. In simple terms, that's what faith really is. You cannot get born again until you have this kind of faith. Until you have a moral conviction. Until you are totally persuaded that there's no way to be saved without Jesus. Folks, that's a powerful thing. But that isn't all. The Apostle Peter said, as mighty as it is, you're going to have something else. Or you're going to fall. Brother Clark, I have faith. But he said, you're going to fall if you don't add these things to your life. Number one, to your faith, add virtue. Everybody say virtue. I'm going to blow your mind what virtue means in the Greek. Virtue in the Greek means valor, strength, courage. And not in the sense of gender, but in the sense of the Scripture, when it uses the name man, it does not mean gender many times, but it means manliness. Not in the sense of a woman being like a man, but it means powerful, courageous, full of valor. When you come to Jesus and you're born again, the first thing you've got to do to stick, folks, is you've got to get some fight in you. You've got to get some courage in you. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people never last. Why? Because they have no root in them. Listen, we're living in a generation of an uncommitted people, a weak people. We're living in an America that doesn't have sometimes a commitment to stand up for what is right. And that affects the church. When people come in here, do you know what we're dealing with now? When we pray people through, they're coming from all kinds of walks of life. Most of them are nothing more than a zombie that's been set in front of a television all of their life. And their mind is so polluted that if you ask them to fight for their own home, they'd lay over and die rather than fight for it. That's how come sometimes it's hard keeping people in the church. They have no root in them. I can't give this to you. You're going to have to go and add this to your life through Jesus Christ. Amen. If you've been weak, then most of the time they'll be weak in the church. That's how come some people blow in here and blow out. They have no courage. Man, God sets them free from tobacco. All it takes is somebody blowing smoke in their face. And they just will. I gotta have one of those. All somebody's gotta do is just smell a little bit of that liquor. And they get shakes all over again. I'm telling you, Simon Peter said, listen, what God's done for you, when you got faith, you put some virtue to it. Virtue is from God. My God is courageous. My God is full of valor. My God is manly. Hallelujah. One time in the Old Testament, men were afraid to fight. Their commander said, quit you like men. He said, fight like a man. Fight. Folks, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to make it, you're going to have to make up your mind that I'm going to live for God. I'm going to serve the Lord. I can't do that for you. You're going to have to do that for your own self. You know what? I'm getting so tired of wimpy people. Oh, I better watch it. I'm going to get back off on that again. I promise I'm not going to talk about homosexuals tonight. Somebody wrote Ann Landers and complained about homosexuals. Did y'all ever read that letter? And boy, it was a big old long letter of it. And she said, you know what I found out? She said, people who really complain about it, that's their weakness. God, I could have tore that up. She said, really, what it is they wish they was one. I want to destroy that. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, to live for God, you've got to have courage. There's got to be something down in you. You just can't walk around talking in tongues. You gotta add something to that. You gotta be willing to stand up to the devil and say, this is my crown, and you're not gonna have it. Oh, hallelujah. We have a saint in this church that's having a problem with their mate, and the mate's been pushing them around and kind of beating down on them. And they just told me, Brother Clark, I'm getting tired of that. I'm getting tired of it. And I told him, I said, well, be submissive and love that person and care for them. It was her wife to the husband. I said, and love them and cherish them. But I said, there just comes sometimes, there's some things you got to stand for. And you just got to stand up to it and say, listen, buddy, this is the way it is. And I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live for God. Come on, some of you folks, this is why people backslide. This is why they get blinded. This is why they forget all about salvation. They get weak and they fall by the wayside. But oh, if you'll have that courage down inside of you and you'll let God add that to you. I'm going to tell you something. This is not a smorgasbord. You don't take what you want and leave out what you don't want. I'm telling you, the Bible said, if you don't get all of these things, you're going to fall. You got to add. There's some things that God wants to really add to your life. Now, when you have added virtue to your life, he said, then when you've gotten some virtue, when you've gotten some courage, add some knowledge. Now, that knowledge doesn't come from the University of Texas. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Brother Noah, you ain't going to find that in the library in St. Ed. It ain't there. That's it. You just don't come from there. This is the Word of the Living God. Folks, I'm going to tell you why. You hear me. You know why God cannot invest some things in a lot of people? It's because they don't have anything in them to fight for it. Why? You know what the Lord taught? You know what the Bible teaches? He said, don't throw your pearl before swine. They won't appreciate it. There's some things God can never open up to His people. They won't appreciate it. Why? Because they won't fight for it. When God gives you some things in the Spirit, He wants you to already have that virtue and that courageous spirit about you and that valor. That when you get the knowledge of Jesus Christ and things begin to happen to you and the Word of God comes alive, you're going to stand your ground and you're going to fight for it. God's people, the Bible said, they're dying and perishing for a lack of knowledge. Now listen to me, all you new converts, all you saints. We have Bible study night. We have 5:30 teaching on Sunday afternoon. My God, and I'm telling you, I'll put this Bible college up next to any Bible college. You hear me? I'm telling you right now, folks. Amen. There is some tremendous teaching that's coming out here out of this school from 7 to 10. And if some of you are really interested in getting knowledge of God, you'll be here hearing these two men of God teach. I'm telling you, if you want knowledge, you stick around Austin Tabernacle, you'll get it. This stuff of the Word of God isn't taught around here is a lie. It's a lie. And I'm sick of hearing it. Praise God. I want you to know if you're going to make it, you're going to get your nose in the book. Everybody say in the book. I won't ask you, but I wonder how many of you really read the Word of God every day. I wonder how many of you really get the Word of God and the knowledge of the Word of God into your heart. You know why many times we stay away from the Word of God? Because the Word of God opens us up. Like that woman we prayed through in Okmulgee, when she got in the Word and the Word got in her, it was like David, Thy Word, O God, have I hid in my heart that I might not see Him against Thee. Pentecostals have got it when it comes to worship. But we need it when it comes to the knowledge of the Word of God. He said, you get this in you, you're not going to fall. You're not going to fall if you'll add this to your life. If you'll put this faith, if you'll put this virtue, if you'll put this knowledge from God and the Word of God in your heart, things are going to begin to add up in your life. Hear me. You are to read every day something from the book of Proverbs. Every day you are to read something from the book of Proverbs. Because I'm telling you, you talk about knowledge. That's good Bible knowledge. Good everyday living. Everybody say hallelujah. When you have come to that place, now I want you to notice this is progression, please, if you'll notice this. Faith, that's the foundation of all things. You've got to have faith. Virtue, if you don't have it in you, no use going any further than the knowledge of the Word of God. Then, when you've gotten to that place and you're in the Word of God, then He says, okay, I got a little surprise for you. I got some temperance I'd like to drop on you. You know what? That is about like an anvil dropping on our foot. When God hits us with it, we're going, please, my God, that crippled me. He said, without it, you're going to fall. Does anybody know what temperance is? Really, all temperance is self-control. Self-control. And I tell you what I learned over the years. Self-control isn't going off somewhere and putting your fist through a door. Some of you are just looking at me like innocent little lambs. He's not talking to me. Not me. Not little itty bitty me. If you don't look out before this night's over, you're going to get put into something. And you're going to end up screaming at the top of your head. Let me tell you something.
Come on now, let's just be real in life. You know, that's the trouble with us. We walk around. I'm born again! Yes! Yes! Don't touch me! I'm holy! And friend, you get them off somewhere on their job. And somebody said, where is their salvation? Praise God. Self-control. You need it. Get some. If you don't, I don't know what I'm going to do to you. My God, you people make me lose my self-control. Praise God. You believe this is important? You believe you're not going to make it without it? You believe you're not going to make it without it? If you ain't got this, honey, it don't matter how much you talk in tongues. You talk in tongues till you fall over in the floor and roll all night long. And all the next day too. Because if you walk out on your job and you chew somebody out and you tell somebody off, you're missing something in the sum total of your life. There's some people say, you know what, you just got to understand though. Christianity has its slot. And job and home and school and business is another slot. No, it ain't. You don't walk into church saying, I've got it all under control. And walk out on a job and somebody just put you. What do you think you're doing? Get off of my back. Didn't know you had that kind of a button. Sorry, I didn't mean to push it. So my God, he asked me to church yesterday. Whew. Lord. And your next door neighbors hear you going at it, man. Dishes are crashing. Woman's screaming. Shut up! If you don't shut up, I'm going to beat you within an inch of your life. And the next door neighbor, both of them got the window wide open. They're standing there. Son, would you listen to that Christian? Go to it. Do we call 911 or we just listen? My God, she's killing him. He needs it. Killing. Well, I'll tell you what, I ain't going to their church anyway. Boy, they sure make a scene. God have mercy. Self-control. Self-control. I tell you what, I'm doing it not only because I want the sum total. I've gotten smart in life. I also want to live. The world ain't the same anymore. People, it ain't level ground anymore, man. And I'm telling you, you listen to me, if God's people try to do what the world's doing, they're going to end up getting killed. The Bible said, live by the sword and you're going to die by the sword. You let somebody cut you off and you start raving to them and blinking your lights and honking your horn, they just might stick a 9mm pistol out the window and blow you away. Amazing, man. I want to be a Christian. Jeez. My God. I ain't going to tell you how long I've been in the church. I saw a young punk and his young punk friend pull out in front of me way down the road there. And I don't know, but I had a warning from God. I'm not going to tell you how long I've been in the church now. I'm not going to tell you. I should have had better sense. I've been in long enough, everybody said. And God told me what that young punk was fixing to do. and you believe I got up there on him and God already warned me, you believe that young punk slammed on his brakes and I like to run slap over him. He must have needed money. And he was going to sue me for a whiplash. I really believe that. I don't know what to believe. God just told me that. And he hit his brakes, and I like to run over that guy. There was no reason for it. It was a four-lane highway. He just did that. And I backed off, and I started going up to go around him, and he slammed on his brakes again. And I like to really run right up his trunk. I was so under self-control that I like to took the steering wheel and wrapped it around the stem coming out. And just as I was saying, that guy is an idiot. He is stupid. I'm getting out of his... Boom! I hit him. He got out. His friend got out. And I got out. And we walked to where it was. And thank God there was no dent. You know what? You know what? I'm talking to some of you right now. And you know what? You're looking at me and you're thinking, man, what is... You know what? I'm talking to you about real life. And some of you that are thinking this way, you need so much help. And I'm trying to help you, and so is God. And I looked down, and that young man was bent over looking at that, and they were both, one of them come around the other side of the car until he saw me. And he stopped dead in his tracks. The other guy didn't proceed to come any further. And when that guy looked up at me, I said, do you see a dent anywhere in that bumper? He said, no, sir. I said, get in your car now. He said, yes, sir. I said, get out of my sight. He said, I'm gone. I pulled the car over the side of the road. I shook and trembled. And I said, my God. God, that boy would have... God, he'd be unconscious right now. I said, because he didn't know who he was dealing with. It was definitely not a child of God in self-control. You know what happened to me? I forgot the sin that I'd been purged. I had forgotten because I had no self-control. And I'm telling you, that's what happens to us in life. And we're headed for trouble in this old world. And if you don't get it under, friend, and I made a vow to myself, I said, I'll never do that again. That's done. That's over. I'm getting that out of my life. I'm going to tell you, folks, you've got as much to do with it as God does. God doesn't just cram self-control down you. You come to the place and say, hey, what I once was, I'm not that anymore. Come on, your children shouldn't run and hide under a bed. Come on, your wife shouldn't duck just when she hears the tone of your voice. Come on, woman, you ought to be under subjection. Your children shouldn't see you give your husband a good tongue lashing. We ought to have self-control. We need for the whole world to look on us saying, my, there's something happening to that man and there's something happening to that woman. Not only do they talk in tongues, but they got courage and they got knowledge. Hallelujah. And they got some temperance. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Now you hear me now. There are people who talk rough. You got something missing in your life. Brother Clark. Brother Clark, I know the Bible. I know the Bible. And when it comes to fighting devils, I can stand my ground. I can fight those devils. I'm a champion for God. But I just got a rough tongue. God's just going to have to overlook it. He won't overlook it. You know why we have a covenant in here that we don't talk about one another? Because that's part of temperance. That's self-control. I'm going to tell you something. You should never talk about one saint to another saint. So, well, I just got to pour it out every once in a while. I just got to get it off my chest. Well, what's wrong with God's chest? Poor God, has He got weak all of a sudden? He's so anemic that you got to go tell somebody, take it to God. That's self-control. I better shut up, Henry. Henry? Don't you think I need to quit? Well, maybe we ought to go home now. We got enough of it. We've been added to. And so, man, we can march out of here saying, we are like Jesus. Are we? Are we really? Praise God. You know what I practice? I practice self-control. Don't let people get the best of you. You talk kind of, now, I'm not, you know, you can anger and sin not. It takes a real Christian to know where that is. Woo! Son, I'm saying, God, am I close? How much further can I go? Huh? Yes! Amen. Praise God. I'll tell you what, folks, to really appreciate this, you're going to have to buy the tape and listen to it later on. Because I'm blowing some of your minds. And you've been looking for a big halo over my head. For some, you've been looking for something. Now you got it, man. Come after me. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't touch me till then. Because I'm adding to my life. You know what? When you really do get that temperance, then He can talk to you about this hot potato. It's called patience. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Anybody got patience? Come on, people. My God, I got to get you to heaven. Let's give the Lord a hand praise. Woo. Hallelujah. How many want to be like the Lord? Come on. How many really want to be like the Lord? Praise God. You know, patience, really, and I'll hurry. I won't take much longer. I think some of you, man, I tell you what, you got steam coming out. You're about to blow a fuse right now. I'll pick this up later on in another direction. Patience, really, is enduring. But you know what the Greek for this in its full intent means, this word patience? You know what it really means? In its full intent, it means cheerful enduring. I said, whoop, God, I check out on this one. So help me God, I did. I said, oh, I did, man. I said, I don't find that on my checklist. I'm going to grit it out, but I'm not going to like it. No, sir. Not me. Until I studied up on this and I said, oh my God. You mean you not only want me to endure it, you want me to smile at it? I said, Jesus, Lord, that's almost impossible. I did. So help me God, I did. I did. I promise you, I did. I said, God, you've asked a lot of things out of me. I said, but I don't know. I said,
Yes, Lord. Okay. When things come along, I'm just going to smile and say, I love this. Whew. Woo! Pour it on. Oh, this makes me sweat just thinking about it. Hallelujah. Come on. Count me in. I don't want to fall. Count me in that number. I want my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come on, you have something Job didn't have. It came on him, but it comes in you. He didn't have the written word. We have the word of God before us. We've got a knowledge that adds to our temperance, and temperance that'll give us patience to endure the race. Praise God. Well, I'm going to tell you something, folks. When I began to study this out for this lesson, the more I got into it, the more I realized, I said, oh, I've got some things I'm going to have to do. And man, I'm telling you, this was it. This one blew me out of the water. It was so awesome, I promise you, it knocked my socks and shoes off. I ain't lying to you. Of course, I'm exaggerating about that, but I ain't lying to you. When this hit me, it hit me between the eyes. I said, oh, God, I've had to endure a lot. Jesus, I thought I was doing good. Just endure it. But the trouble was, is when you do it that way, you're really accusing God. You really are. You're saying, God, you're cruel. You're cruel. You're teaching me. But you're a cruel taskmaster. You're an evil one. And not in the sense of corrupt. But you're too hard. You've said that sometimes, haven't you? We all have, haven't we? All right, don't shake your head at me. Just sit there saying, I ain't saying nothing. That's right. But now my whole ideology is going to change. You know why? Because I'll no longer be grinding out saying, God, when is this going to lift off of me? Now I'm just going to say, praise the Lord. All things work together. Hallelujah. He's making me in His image. Thank the Lord. And not only do I talk in tongues, but I have the power inside of me to see it all the way through. Thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. Thank you, devil. Anything you throw my way, I can take it with a smile and a praise the Lord. It's going to be all right. Come on now, church. It's going to be all right. Come on now, when you lose your job, and you lose your home, and you lose your car, and you lose your friends, from now on, you're going to have patience to say, hallelujah, the Lord is doing best for me. Come on now, we're going to look at it a whole lot different. Hallelujah. And if you're missing one of these, you're going to end up blind. Praise God. Come on, Sister Clark, to the organ. I'll go quickly through the rest of this. And to patience, godliness. Everybody say godliness. You know what that means? That when you talk about godliness, you're talking about piety and holiness. But everybody look. Look what he... Would you look back up here? Let's look at the Word of God here. 2 Peter, the first chapter, and reading in that 8th verse. First of all, you have faith, then you got virtue, then you got knowledge. What you got next? Temperance. And then what you have? Patience. 5 added to your life.
before holiness? God, you made a mistake. You better put godliness back up front, even for faith. Poor God. He don't know how to run his church, does he? Man, don't you know? I ain't baptizing nobody. Mm-mm. They got lipstick on their lips. Oh, sir. My God, maybe they didn't have time to wipe it off yet. Have mercy. Why you let that long-haired hippie in that water? I ain't going to sit under a pastor like that. Well, God, it's Sunday night. He just got the Holy Ghost. Barber don't open, my Lord. I don't know a 24-hour barber shop. Well, 2 weeks later, she's still got an earring in her ear. Lord have mercy. Our pastor's slipping. He is slipping. Why, that ain't no holiness preacher. Folks, let me tell you something. You know good and well, I'll preach it so hot you'll melt in the pews when I feel it. I've seen some of you go, whoa. Whoa. Man, I've been in the church 10 years and I ain't heard it like that. No. Come on, let's let God do it. Come on, God's gonna shape him up around here. Come on, my God. Stand up, Todd. Woo! Y'all remember what Todd used to look like? I remember that little ponytail down the back. You remember that? Woo, that was good looking, wasn't it? Did you ever have an earring? You never did have that, did you? Never went that far, did you? Oh, good big old tattoo. Well, I tell you, he had a pretty ponytail, though. And you know what? He got more under conviction. You know what he did? He said, I don't want that hanging on my neck. So he took it and took a rubber band and tied it up on the back of side of his head. But God was working things out in his life. Before you knew it, you don't even see it on the back of his head anymore, do you? Woo! You know why? We have been purged from our sin. And God is adding. And to all of this, he's saying, I'm going to put holiness in and without. I'm going to make you a fully furnished man in Christ Jesus. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. God's addition. He ain't going to leave you out. He'll clean your home out. He'll get the television and VCR out. Come on. He'll wash you inside and out. He'll make you holy. Praise God. Woo. Everybody pick up your Bibles now. We're closing. 2 Peter, the first chapter. 7th verse. And to godliness, brotherly, say it. Say it with a smile.
Kindness.
Oh! Oh, Brother Clark, don't do that to me. Man, you know the old saying, Brother Clark, you got to, you know, you hurt those that you love. I love the church. I love my brother. I said, how come I kick him every time I get a chance to kick him? Ooh, Brother Clark, you don't know how much I love that sister. I love her so much. Oh, I love her. That's how come I talk about her. You know how it is, Brother Clark. You hurt those that you love. And I sure do love this church. Brother Clark, I love you too. Oh, come on, we're going to see Jesus, aren't we?
Oh, yes.
Woo! Ain't nobody going to be looking at their back in heaven. Hallelujah. Because ain't nobody going to be slipping up on your backside to run a knife in. Because over there, everybody is going to have it all added to their life. We're going to love one another. And I said, we're going to love one another.
turn around and look at someone, shake their hand and say, I love you with brotherly kindness. I love you with sisterly kindness. Come on, I love you. I do, I really do. I love you so much I won't hurt you. You can trust me. I can put my soul in your hands. Amen. I believe in you. I love you. And there's one more. Charity. When everything else fails, love never fails. Come on, I'll teach on that another night. Church, if you have all of these things, come on now. If you're born again, if you got virtue that is inside of your life, if you got knowledge, if you have temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity, you will never fall. You will never fall. Somehow, some way, God will pick you up. Oh, don't you feel it?
I can make it.
Yes, I can.
My faith can take it.
Come on and praise Him.